This episode of The Slop on Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores, they've got different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are always the same for everybody and reliably low. Rockauto.com offers always the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like the airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or an account login. Rockauto.com, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps and motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com's catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Rob has a podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
If you watch BB for the strategy, this is not the place for you to be. So let's have fun, let's get messy. Throw on your unitard and come with me. Welcome to the slop. Now let's get sloppy.
Yes, yes, yes. The sloppy live feeds are cutting in and out as well.
That was a sloppy performance.
It's very sloppy, very sloppy. Very, very Big Brother 22. Okay, as our theme song is having some technical difficulties, but we're very excited. A man who is mostly business here during the Big Brother 22 season, but is taking a break to come and get sloppy with us. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. I love the name of this podcast. Every time I hear it, I feel like it should be like a radio show, like 98.5, The Slop.
Yes, like, yes, that's what we're going for. Yes, I appreciate it. Okay. Anyway, Taryn, I'm so excited to be back together to talk with you today. After last night, a new viewer tuned in and wanted to know if you were my son on the podcast. And I've been thinking about this, and I feel like that, you compared to my other two sons, that you are independent, you don't need any help getting on Zoom, that you create the least amount of problems for me. I'd like to adopt you, if that's okay.
I'm down. You are truly a father figure to me, and so let's make this happen.
Yes. Okay. My favorite part of the idea that I could be your father is that there are people out there who think that I could have been having sex as a teenager. That's my favorite part about that. Like that somebody might think, unless they think that I'm just like incredibly old. Maybe.
Yeah, you would have had like 17?
Yeah. How about that? How about that, everybody? Okay. So somebody thinks that 17-year-old me was a popular guy. All right. Anyway. Taryn, very excited to have you here with us today. So we got a great show here. We got a lot of sloppy things to talk about. Tommy Bracco is going to call in a little bit from Big Brother 21. We'll catch up with him. He knows a thing or two about the Final Five. We'll talk with him about everything that's going on now. I'm sure we will talk spoilers, so just a heads up about that. If you have some things in the chat that you want to make sure that we get, probably the easier way to do that is send me some Twitter mentions. People are so good about sending me sloppy things. If you have any links or anything you want us to talk about, send those. I'll be checking that throughout the show. Also, we told you last night that we were going to have an exit interview here today, Taryn, with Tyler Crispin. And I do have some news that at this time, we do not have an exit interview sent back yet from Tyler Crispin.
Whatever.
Yeah. We've seen some come back. normally I get these very early in the morning, that usually around like by 9, 10 a.m. Pacific time. I think that's the latest I've gotten them. Even after the triple eviction, I've not gotten any word back from my interview questions for Tyler Crispin.
I mean, I have seen in some of the ex interviews he has not answered some questions. So maybe that had something to do with it, but maybe they're just late.
We'll see. If they come in later on in the show, you know, we'll be on for, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours or so. And if it comes in, then we'll play you his exit interview responses and we'll play it live. Otherwise, if not, we will let you know if we hear definitively that he did not want to answer, or if, you know, they're just running behind. I texted with Mike Bloom. He got his interview questions done, but it was, again, a little bit later. So it's been a little bit late. And a little bit of a, you know, so some picking and choosing some questions to answer. But well, if we get an update, Taryn, you and the listeners will be the first to hear it.
I mean, I think I will I will stand in for the listeners here, and I will ask you, Rob, were the questions nice?
I think that they were very polite and fair.
Okay. Okay. Were they nice?
I wouldn't say. I think that they were fair. I mean, they weren't necessarily softballs, but they weren't like, 99-mile-an-hour fastballs either.
Rob, you just had to be nice. You can't just be nice once.
Whatever.
All right. So if that comes in, we'll get into that. But, Taryn, I do like to start off this show in the end zone, and that is talking about what's going on with Enzo, and we talked about this last night, that there's been something that has been coming to light on the live feeds about Enzo, that Enzo has a super fan that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know. Is super fan the right word, Rob?
Enzo has a big fan. He has been talking about that. I don't know what prompted him. Maybe, and this is what's great about having you here, Taryn, is that you could give us the background on some of this stuff. That Enzo has been talking about a lot, a certain admirer that he has.
Since my season of BB12 on Twitter, I've had a girl stalk my feet.
You sure it's a girl?
but her icon is a girl.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Enzo has a person that stalks his feet.
Yes, I love that Cody immediately was in there like, really, really, mm-hmm. Enzo, it's a girl.
Yeah,
but yes, look, Rob, you know, people admire Enzo for many of his qualities, his hats, his nicknames, mm-hmm. his, you know, speech patterns. Your feet, just one of those things.
Yeah. I'm kind of with Cody on this. I don't know if it's a woman who's looking for, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Either way, I think that there's, it's not a woman, right?
I mean,
Enzo's being catfished here.
Yeah. I mean, I would say of like the weird kinds of messages that I get, they're more often men than women, but there are women that are weird as well.
I know there are women that are weird. Yes. I don't know if there are women that are Enzo, send me pictures of your feet weird.
You never know.
You never know. It's possible. It's possible. I mean, were Enzo's feet prominently featured on Big Brother 12?
No, well, Rob, if they were, then what would they need pictures of his feet for? They'd have plenty.
Okay, so Enzo is repeatedly asked for. There's one person that is constantly asking Enzo for pictures of his feet.
Oh,
and it's
2020, bro. No,
and every so often she hits me up. I haven't seen a picture of your feet. Please, preferably the soles. I want to see the soles.
Now, again, I'm not a foot person, Taryn. I would think that the toes is the ultimate goal there on feet stuff. The sole. I want to see your sole of your feet, Enzo.
It's funny that you say that, because as also not a foot person, I was just like, yeah, makes sense. I don't get it at all, so it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But apparently you have some sort of you're drawn to toes.
I wouldn't say that. I would feel like that if I was if I was imagining somebody who was looking for feet pictures, I would think that like if the toes were cropped out of the picture, I think they'd be like, "Hey, what's with these feet pictures? Where's the toes? How do you leave out the toes?"
Yeah, I like the idea. It's like, okay, hold on. I do want pictures of your feet, but if you don't want to give me the full pictures of the feet, at least give me a taste of those soles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they'd be very dirty, the soles of your feet.
Are they? I mean, I guess so. It's not like the heel. I feel like the heel gets the dirtiest.
You think the heel? Okay. So if we were going to rank a heel, sole, insole, toe, I don't know. I need some sort of a foot ranking. So, all right, Enzo, send us sole pictures.
And then I'm just, every year I get, especially during Christmas time, please, it's Christmas. I like Christmas.
Not the house guest Christmas. Please, Enzo, all I want for Christmas this year are more pictures of your feet.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's time. We've all been waiting for this moment. It's time for Enzo to start an OnlyFans.
Yeah, well, that might be where Enzo makes the big bucks once he gets out. He would not be the first house guest to do that in Big Brother lore. Taryn, have you heard Enzo talk about this before?
His feet?
The foot stalker.
No, I believe this is the first time it was brought up.
Okay, because I get a lot of messages about this. I don't get messages. Hey,
people wanting to see your feet.
No, I don't. I've never gotten any message about I want to see any body part. But I get messages. Can you please talk about Enzo talking about his foot stalker?
Okay,
that's the message that I get.
I mean, it's something that should be talked about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big thing.
It is a big thing. Okay, so Enzo tells us how he responds to the foot stalker.
So then, do you post a picture of your foot after that?
I what I did was with socks, and I put like a hole in my socks, and I'd be like, I tease her a little bit.
Oh my god, that's amazing!
So Enzo turns out that, you know, this person is asking for soul pictures, and he gives them like a little bit of just enough of a tease to keep them interested. And it occurred to me, Taryn, my mind was blown. We are all the foot stalker, and Enzo has been taunting us this whole time. But instead, we don't want pictures of Enzo's feet. We want a big move from Enzo. And he's like, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll send you that big move. Yeah, okay. Just wait. It's coming, yo. That's it. That's it. That big move is coming. Just wait. Yeah. That's coming. Here's a little here's a little sliver of it.
It's covered up with a sock right now, but you can see through the holes. Yes. You can see the big move in there.
Yes, we're like, Enzo, please, please. It's Christmas. No, that's the move. He will not give it to us. That is exactly who he is. He teases people.
Yes. And he acts like he's above it too. Like, oh, it's crazy stalker, crazy fans. They wanted, but, yeah, I mean, I have got some big moves, but, you're going to see a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Classic Enzo. So, we'll see that if Enzo's foot stalker is on social media, we would love to hear from you and hear more about the background of why Enzo, what has this relationship been like? Where do you think it's going? Have the live feeds been delivering in terms of Enzo foot footage this season?
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't buy this for a second. Like, if Enzo is sending teasing photos of his socks and holes in his sock, like, that's not the first one you send. The first one you send is not like, oh, here's some tantalizing view of it.
Yes.
The first one you send is like the most basic, like, okay, maybe I'm gonna dip my toes in this water. Mm-hmm. And then over time,
intended?
Yes, pun intended. Over time, you know,
it's literally a picture of Enzo dipping his toes in some water.
No, see, that's an advanced one.
Okay.
The first one is just like, okay, I'm just going to snap a photo of my foot. And then they're like, no, the soles. I haven't seen the soles of your foot. And he's like, okay. And he sends him a picture of his soles. And then they're like, oh, yes, this is great. And then he keeps going and keeps going. And then eventually you start getting creative. You start dipping your toes in some water. Mm-hmm. You start putting socks on with like some holes in the socks. Like, ooh, look at this. Like, how about this is tantalizing? Like, that is not a first photo. That Enzo has been playing around with this this foot fetish stalker for a while, and he's calling it a stalker, but this is a full-fledged affair, I think.
Yes. Is it a stalker, or is it a soccer?
No socks, Rob.
No sock.
Stop
no
with
socks.
The socks.
Yes. Okay. All right. Enzo says that he posts all these pictures on Instagram also, and then he has a whole, like, who knew Enzo was such a great follow before all of this?
I didn't realize. Hold on. Did he post the
No, I think he's turned. He deleted all his social media before he went in the house.
Okay.
But he was talking all about it. And he also says that he's offended that the foot stalker only wants to see his feet and not any other, not his face or anything else.
Yeah, I mean, that's just gross. Why would you do that?
I mean, he did beat out Cody in the nipple contest, according to Nipple King.
That's true.
And others. Yeah. But no.
He's not as perfect as Tyler, but.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We have a great guest here with us today to talk about everything that's going on in the Big Brother house. I don't know if he can weigh in on Enzo and Enzo's stalker that he has, but we will talk with him about everything that's going on here in this season. Very excited to have with us from Big Brother 21, Tommy Bracco is here. Tommy, how are you?
I'm so good. Hi, guys.
Tommy, we're so happy to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here. You guys are the best, and it's pretty cool to be with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Tommy, this is I like the setup that you have here. Is that your Big Brother bag behind you?
Yeah, and this is my bag, and I have my costumes on this mannequin.
Oh.
This is my podcast studio, Real Talk.
I didn't even know you had a podcast.
Yeah, it's me, my dad, and my cousin, and we just talk about reality shows the same way that you guys
yes.
do.
Yes, all right. This is fantastic. Congratulations. You got a neon sign.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome for doing interviews. I have all this great lighting. I feel like, you know, it's legit now. Yeah, but I have it here. So, but thank you guys for having me.
It looks great. And so your dad and your cousin, you said?
Yeah, my dad and my cousin. What happened was, you guys probably know this. Last year when I was in the house, my dad and my cousin and my entire family were very much a part of the online community.
Yes.
Like, go live after all the shows. And the fans of the show loved to communicate with them. So that's kind of when I got out and I saw that response, that's kind of what made us get this idea. Continue it. They love talking to you guys.
Yes.
More than they like talking to me. So let's continue it.
Yes. And it's perfect because I also do podcasts with my son.
Wait, what?
Yeah. And then, thank you to Corinne in the chat for that.
But adoption papers are ongoing.
Yeah. We're working it out. I'm adopting Taryn, Tommy.
Oh, gotcha. That's so sweet of you.
Yes. So did your dad get you into the shows?
No, I was the one that got my entire family into Big Brother. I loved it for a while.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
They liked it, but they didn't. Here's the thing. When I went into the house, I didn't even think they were going to be watching. I was like, oh, they'll catch it when it's on once in a while. But when I got out, they were all obsessed with it. I didn't expect that. They didn't really love it the way that I do before I went in. They fell in love with it once I went on.
Okay. Yeah. Tommy, what have you made of Big Brother All-Stars?
All right. So, I mean, how do I even answer that? Listen, I think that there's a bunch of people playing really great games. I actually think that everybody left is playing a really great game. It's not a really fun – it's just not – I think that the new school way of playing is not – doesn't make for good TV. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we see now. It's like, even though Cody is playing a great game, it's boring to watch. So that's where I think, that's what I think the struggle with it is with Big Brother these days. It's like, we love the show because of what it used to be, the fighting. But nowadays, when you're in the house, you don't want to present yourself as a target. So you do hold back from letting loose. If you are feeling fired up, you make sure that you don't let that out because you don't want to go home. And if you do start fights, then you go home. So we're not seeing any fights. We're not seeing people speak their mind. We're seeing people live in fear in the house. And I feel like it's, you know, it's this is a very loaded question, but I'm going to give you a loaded answer. But I think that, you know, we see a lot of the online hate in 2020. Mm-hmm. I actually think that people, the players this season are living in fear of what's happening on the outside because the online community is so loud. That I think that, you know, we then you look at players like Janelle, she speaks her mind and people love it. They eat it up. But the people that try and apologize or tiptoe, they rip them apart. Why is it that Janelle can get away with saying this, speaking her mind, saying this crazy shit? Can I curse? Is that okay?
That's okay. Well, I mean, if you could avoid it, that's good. But I want you to be you, Tommy.
Okay. But why is it that she can get away with saying this crazy stuff and we love her for it?
All right, this is interesting. So let's talk this through because I feel like that the old school players like Janelle played in an era pre-Twitter. Social media was MySpace when Janelle went and played the first time. And I wonder, you know, that was an era where, you know, some of the superstars of Big Brother were people that got into fights. Evil Dick was a superstar in that time frame. And they came out of that world. But you feel like that the players that go into the house now are more afraid of having big confrontations because they are worried about a backlash from social media.
I think it's a backlash from social media, but also within the house. Like, you don't want to start a fight in that house because then that makes you the next target to go home. And you want to stay so you can win 500,000. So the new school mentality of playing is different than the old school. In the old school, they wouldn't think twice about speaking their mind if they were upset about something. Mm-hmm. But new school, we stay quiet because we want to stick around. And it just makes for boring TV, to be honest with you.
Taryn, do you have any thoughts on this, the difference between the way that the old school players and the new school players approach the game in terms of TV time and also social media clout?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's something that that I was talking about earlier in the season is that a lot of these players so very clearly have like trauma that they have from you know playing the game, not only in the game but outside of the game, and they are dealing with knowing that the ramifications of their actions are going to be pummeled at them after the show. And we are seeing that they are a lot more cautious about getting into arguments, a lot more cautious about, you know, what they say, what they do, that, you know, in a lot of ways, I think it also helps encourage them to be more loyal to each other as friends, because outside of the game, they know they're all going to be hated and they're going to need each other. They can't betray their friends in the game and then come out to a fan base that it still hates them. And now they have nobody. So they tend to cling to each other even more. And I do think it does play a major role in the kind of gameplay we see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that just in talking about this difference between the old school and the new school, I feel like that where, and Kaser, I think, talked about this of, you know, there are people, I think I heard him on with Daniel Reyes and Jason Guy on their podcast. He talked about how the new school players are playing more for the gram, for the Instagram, and where if you get into an argument in the house, if you're an old school player, that's you're going to get TV time. I mean, maybe that's the goal. Whereas, you know, we've heard Nicole say things on the live feeds of, oh, I need to get a costume because that's how I want to get TV time. It's not necessarily that I'm looking for a confrontation that's going to get me on the show. I want to do things like get punishments and make sure that I have like, you know, fall down when I'm climbing up the rope enough times because I know they'll show that on the TV show.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing is that, you know, back in the day, in the old school version of Big Brother, I mean, let's be real. People went on the show because they wanted to be on TV. People mm-hmm. wanted to have careers in acting or start a reality TV career. Like, that's a Dr. Will, you know, Mike Boogie back in the day. Like, that was their jam. That was what they were there for, to make big names of themselves and go on to do bigger things. And they all stayed in LA and they all tried to be actors and personalities. The difference is that back then, without social media, getting into fights and speaking your mind and being a big character was the thing that attracted, you know, agents and people that like, oh, you really popped on the screen.
Memorable.
We want you.
Right.
Exactly. We want the people that get into fights. Nowadays, it's a much more viable path to go on social media and make money on Instagram or, you know, getting advertisements, sponsorships. And we see just this season, Nicole losing sponsorships for being too mean, and the way to go about, you know, being a good person for social media is to be a role model, be an exemplary, you know, human specimen, that, you know, you look the part, you act the part, and you have a loyal fan base that will buy things that you advertise to them. And it does not tend to reward the very aggressive, you know, speak your mind, fighting kind of thing nearly as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Tommy, is this something that players just sort of like know instinctually, or like, are these types of conversations like happening in the Big Brother house, especially like where in your season, everybody's a first time player? Like, is that kind of stuff? Like, we know, like, people like come into the house and are talking about things like that. Oh, I want to be an influencer in their, you know, videos that we see and stuff like that. But do these conversations happen in the house?
To be honest with you, I didn't have any conversations like that at all. There was one day in the HOH room that we talked about how many followers people had going into the game. But at that point, when you're spending every single hour with everybody all the time, you talk about everything. That was one mini microscopic conversation that happened in the entire summer. Like, that was it was one time thing. It was not like anything we dwelled on. It was just, we said it in passing one day and that was it. It didn't feel like people cared about it until we got out, then people cared.
Yeah.
I think it is instinctual. I think that the people that are more plugged in with social media are going to be significantly less likely to cause drama in the house, to be the villain of the season. The people who are like, they don't go on social media at all, those are the people that still will have that more old school mentality of like, yeah, I'll come in, I'll speak my mind, I'll be whatever. Because social media doesn't really encourage you to speak your mind. And so that's kind of our society nowadays on social media. I think it's become instinctual for a lot of people. So when they're on a platform that is much bigger than anything they've experienced before, they're going to shut down even more because that's what they've been trained to do.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay, well, Tommy, let's talk a little bit about where we're at here in Big Brother 22, and we're down to the final five. You know, I would love to know, have you had any interaction with the Calafiores that I feel like that you're in the same neck of the woods? You're Staten Island, they're North Jersey. Have you run into any of these guys?
No, but I've talked with Paulie online, and Paulie's awesome, I think. I think he's a great guy.
Same.
I feel like Cody's a great guy too. Like, I haven't had any personal interactions with him, but if he comes from the Calafiori family, I feel like they're just all around good people, honestly. So I feel like he's just a good down to earth Italian Jersey guy. And, I like that. And Enzo too. My father's obsessed with Enzo because he reminds him.
How obsessed is he with Enzo? He's not DMing him, right?
No. Oh, because you guys were talking about his stalker, right?
Yeah.
Not my father, I don't
okay.
think.
Good.
Would he tell you if it was?
He honestly might not. So take his phone. Sometimes he's got a mind of his own. No, but yeah, I think that those guys are great. I think Christmas is playing a really good game too. The thing about Christmas, I feel like a lot of times when she goes into the DR, she acts like she knows exactly what she's talking about, but 60% of the time she's off.
Mm-hmm.
So we, America, see that. And I think that that's why we don't give her credit for the game as much as she's playing. But her game is so interesting to me because she is a hardcore team player. And for some reason, people underestimate her, I think. But she's won competitions. She's extremely loyal. Why couldn't she win this thing? Why? I don't know why, but I found myself guilty of underestimating her. And I had to check myself and be like, Christmas is still in this. She's very much in this. Why am I ruling her out? I shouldn't. She really could take this. And then we got Nicole. I think that Nicole is playing the best game that she's played out of the other two seasons that she's played. Yeah. I think that she's playing a good game. It's really interesting. It's a little slimy, but it's still, it's working, I think. Enzo's awesome. You know, he made a few decisions that we like online. I feel like people were questioning, you know, with the voting David out as opposed to Nicole. But if he's sitting in the final two, who are we to judge that that was the wrong decision? Maybe if it gets into the end, then it was the right decision. I would like to see him win a few more competitions. I think with Enzo, sorry, once you get me started, I won't shut up. Stop me if I'm going too much. But I think with Enzo, he plays up his character more so that we, that the people in the house rule him out as the, they look at him like the senile uncle. And like, you know, when he flipped on Christmas and Tyler and, or yeah, Christmas and Tyler and voted the opposite way, Tyler wins HOH. The first thing he goes in, he says to Tyler, it's not like, Tyler, let me explain. I'm sorry. That's what I would have done. Any other person I feel like would be like, let me explain what happened. I'm sorry, man. You're talking to the new HOH and you just backstabbed him. Instead, Enzo goes in, he goes, make big moves, y'all, make big moves. Like, what is that? What is that's not English. It's like, but I think he plays that up on purpose so that people don't take him seriously. And I respect that a lot. I think that he's purposefully playing the senile uncle game.
Okay. So let, and I think that you're right to, like, you know, a major degree, with that. Okay. So like, so let's assume Enzo is playing 4D chess. Can, does he have the ability to then take that off in the final two and then be able to explain in a way that people will like, is he able to give a final two speech that does not include any yo's, that's it, yo, that's what I'm talking about. Is he able to like give, reveal himself in any way?
I don't think that he needs to turn off the yo completely, but I do think that he's able to tap into a more realistic delivery because he does it in the DR. We see him talk in his game in the DR. When we see his DRs, he makes a lot of sense. It's when he's in the house on the feeds that we're like, who is this guy? Is this the same person? So I think he's playing it up on purpose. But if he winds up in the final two, because he is so likable, he could talk everybody into voting for him. It just depends on who he's sitting next to and how the rest of the people in the house feel about the person that he's sitting next to, because everyone in the house likes him.
Can I ask you, as a juror, Tommy, that we talk a lot about on the outside about, oh, this person needs to make a big move and this person needs to, you know, have this on their resume. When you're sitting in the jury house, does that kind of stuff come up? Like, is there a lot of talk about that, of the moves that were made?
Absolutely. I mean, I think about last year, I knew that if Jackson was sitting next to anybody in the final two, he would have my vote no matter what he did in the game. To me, I'm such a diehard fan that it's all about the game, and the guy broke records with the amount of competitions that he won. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just that. He somehow convinced people in the house that he was somebody that he wasn't, or that he, maybe that's not the right way to put it, but he just convinced people in the house that he would do certain things that he wound up not doing. That's a social game to me. If you're able to lie, he's not just a physical competitor. He's a social player, but we do talk about what is your big move, what the resume leading up to the final votes, 1,000%. Cody's got a sick resume. Memphis has a sick resume. Memphis, to me, is Jackson a little bit older. Like, I feel like they're very similar, just like kind of Memphis is a little more cold and closed off. He doesn't even fake it. Jackson would fake it sometimes. Not sometimes, he fakes it. Mm-hmm. But I love Jackson. That's not anything against him. But yeah, I feel like Memphis doesn't even, his social game is so interesting to me, Memphis, because he's not playing one at all. He's not even trying to fake it. He's not trying to be nice. He's just not. And I think that that's why people kept him around. Mm-hmm. If he were to be trying to put up a front and be nice to everybody, he would have been a bigger threat than he is in the house, in my opinion. So I think his no social game is a strategy, and it is a social game, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
Yes. Taryn, is the no social game the new having a social game?
I don't know if I'd say that, but it is a viable strategy, especially the game is all about knowing yourself and playing the game that suits you. And Memphis just isn't a warm person. He's not capable of being the guy that's everybody's best friend. It's just not who he is. And being able to recognize that and play a game that suits his strengths is the real key to his success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Tommy, we're at the final five. Of course, that was the iconic week from last season where you ended up being on the block, and that we did so many hours of podcasts that week of what's the right decision? Vote out Tommy, vote out Holly. What should happen? Back and forth, and there were so many debates. And this week we had a little bit of that with Tyler and Christmas on the block, and we saw that Tyler was trying to make that campaign that was ultimately going to keep him in the house in that same position that you were in. What do you think of Tyler's campaign this week?
Yeah, I think it's 100% true. I mean, if any of the remaining players, I actually spoke about that. We did our podcast last night after the episode, and that's exactly what I spoke about. You break up a pair when you have a pair, in my opinion, especially when you have a pair as strong as Memphis and Christmas. I know what happened. So I think that it might work out in people's favor, even though they didn't take the shot at Christmas instead. But yeah.
We can talk about the spoilers. We can talk about the spoilers. I opened it up today.
So I think, Nicole wins HOH. Yeah. So I think that from what I'm seeing, she's going to put up Memphis and Christmas, which makes sense. But I actually think she should target Enzo, because then Cody would be loyal to Nicole 100%. Right now, she doesn't have him 100%. She has nobody, kind of. We don't know who Cody's 100% loyal to. We think it's to Enzo, but we're not 100% sure. But if she gets rid of Enzo, then she has Cody 100%, and then it's two pairs against each other. I think she has a better shot at that than continuing and just taking the shot at Memphis and Christmas. She's opening the door up for an Enzo Cody final two. That's basically what I think happens. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, let's just talk that through. Tara, what do you think about that? Do you think that Nicole should be taking this shot at Enzo this week?
It's so tough for Nicole because she's already so locked into this endgame at this point. I think she needs to cut Cody, but like, how and when does she do that? Basically, I think she needs to, like, her ideal scenario would be getting to the final three with maybe Cody and Christmas, or even Enzo and Christmas, and then cutting either Cody or Enzo to take Christmas to the final two. That's I think her win scenario right now. If she did try to take out Enzo or Cody this week, then she would be in some trouble next week. I do think that Enzo is actually the better play than Cody this week, just because if she cuts Cody this week, then Memphis and Christmas both will try to cut her at the final four. She's basically relying on, she can't even compete in the HOH, which means she has to win the veto, or maybe Enzo has to win the veto. But if she just cut Cody, I don't know if Enzo doesn't take her out there either. So yeah. It's not great for her to take Cody out. So could she take Enzo out? Cody would be pissed at her for doing that. What does Cody do from there? Cody doesn't really have a choice. He might have to work with her from that point. He still probably has to take out Memphis unless he feels like he can beat Memphis, which he probably does. So he just have to make sure that Memphis would take him, but he doesn't think that Memphis would take him. So he'd probably still take out Memphis if he could. He'd still probably take out Christmas if he could. She's in the final three with Cody and Memphis and or Christmas, and she could still cut Cody. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a viable option, and it gives her a little more credibility when it comes to the final two. So yeah, I wouldn't mind it at all.
Let me make the counter argument for Nicole, because I feel like I don't see her this being a thing that she does. Like, it does not seem like it would jive with everything we've learned about Nicole in three seasons of the show to go against, Cody, who she's working with, wants to do to potentially put her in a better final two scenario with a lot of risk along the way. I think she's very risk averse as a player. I think she's going to make the safer move here. And I do think that she has the best chance where now Cody or Enzo could win the HOH at the final four. I know it also comes down to who wins the veto in terms of keeping her safe. But I feel like that between herself and Cody and Enzo, I think they've got a great shot to be able to knock out the other side of the Christmas in Memphis. And then she has a chance to win the final three. And I think there's also a non-zero chance that either Cody or Enzo could take her to the final three. That Enzo could see that as his big move at the end of the game to knock Cody out and take Nicole. So I think she has more outs to play it straight as opposed to trying to make a big move at the final five.
Yeah, I also agree with that. I think, again, like another scenario is her, Cody, and Enzo in the final three, which is looking like the most likely scenario at this point. She still would need to win the final HOH, which I don't think is impossible. I think she can beat Enzo in at least one of part one or part two, and then she has a good chance to beat Cody in part three. Then all she needs to do is cut Cody, and I think by cutting Cody and taking Enzo, she may win the game. And that's her path. Now, the problem with all of this is that I don't think she's going to do any of it. I think she has no intentions of cutting Enzo or Cody either now or in the final three. I think she's going to take Cody if she gets there.
Yeah, I hear that. What do you guys think about, all right, so say we've got a final three, Enzo, Cody, and Nicole. Do you guys think that the boys would take each other, or do you think that they would want to bring Nicole along for final two? But because, Rob, you brought that up, and I just assumed that the boys would take each other, but in both of their previous seasons, mm-hmm. took the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they are just playing each other.
Yeah.
And they would take her instead.
Well, Enzo, Taryn, tell me if you think this is a possibility. Marriott in the chat says there's no way Enzo would cut Cody, but couldn't that be Enzo's big move? I mean, that don't you think that there's a non-zero chance that he says, hey, I can't beat Cody. Everybody's told me I can't beat Cody. I'll go to the end with Nicole and win.
I think there's a chance. There's always a chance. I think as of right now, he does not plan to, but that doesn't mean that he won't. There are still, just under 3 weeks left of game to be played. That's a lot of time to sit on something and think about, like, if I win that, should I take him? We saw this happen in Big Brother Canada 2, where the entire game leading up to the final three decision, John Party was planning to take Netta to the final two. He would have lost against her. The entire game, we were like, well, Netta is dominating this game because John will take her and lose. The feed's cut for the final three because that's what they do in Big Brother Canada. And by the time we saw the episode, he had changed his mind at the last second. He decided to cut the person he had been planning on taking all season long, and he won the game. That could easily happen with Enzo or Nicole. But I do think that as of right now, he does plan on taking Cody. He talks about it all the time. He's my number one guy, that they're going to be such great friends after the show, and that they would never do that to each other. They both have reputations for being loyal. It really matters to both of them. The money matters a lot to both of them. And so, I think there's a lot to overcome. He needs to be very, very certain that he would win if he made that call.
Right. I don't know. I kind of think I would love to see both of the boys choose Nicole over the other one. I feel like that would be redemption for how their past seasons went. But if that were to happen, then I feel like the theory that I have about Nicole trying to target Enzo this week, it doesn't hold up then if the boys were to take her. But if they're taking each other, then I think that she's got to clip Enzo so that Cody is hers. They have each other. That's my opinion. And then, you know, you move into the next week, you have top four, Nicole can't play HOH. So they're going to probably, Memphis and Christmas are going to target Cody. They're not going to target Nicole anyway. So she's looking at a final three regardless. It's just a matter of having Cody or not. I think that the risk is, there's less of a risk, I think, moving forward with just Cody than, so I guess what I'm saying is I would put up Christmas and Memphis if I were her, but then I would gun for the veto and take one of them off, or hopefully one of them win the veto, take themselves off. Enzo goes up, two people vote, she breaks the tie, she has to break the tie to evict Enzo. I would love to see this week go that way, but I don't see it. I agree, Taryn, I don't see it going that way, though, even though there, as much as I wanted to.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of problems with that, though, where I think the only way Enzo goes home this week is if he's on the block next to Memphis, because Christmas will evict Enzo over Memphis. I think Memphis would evict Christmas over Enzo, and then she wouldn't have the opportunity to break a tie. And so it would have to be Enzo versus Memphis on the block, because Christmas is the only one that might vote Enzo out.
I would assume that Christmas would, or that Memphis would vote to keep Christmas.
Not as of right now. Again, he could change his mind, or maybe he has changed his mind and we don't know it yet. But as of right now, Enzo is still his actual final two, because he's the real, you know, pivot point in the wise guys. Okay. And then even if she does get Enzo out, Cody has a 1 in 3 chance of winning that final four HOH. Mm-hmm. And if he wins that final four HOH, then both Christmas and Memphis would probably evict her over each other, because they can't evict Cody. And that puts her in a lot of danger.
Okay, fair. Touche.
Okay. Tommy.
Anyway.
Tell us, in the lead up to all of this, were you in the running to go back? Because you were definitely a name that I felt like that would have been a good candidate to come back for BB All-Stars.
I so appreciate that. There was no communication on my end with them, but that's okay. I'm happy to like be a fan of the show again, to watch this season. I really am. I'm having so much.
Did you know that Nicole was going to go back into the house? Nicole,
no, I
A.
Didn't. Yeah. Nicole didn't tell a single soul, and she's one of my closest friends. And that, I think, speaks volumes to who she is as a person. We went to visit her beforehand. We had a barbecue with her family. She didn't say a single word. And I don't fault her for that at all. Mm-hmm. She signed a contract. That's exactly what she was supposed to do. Not tell anybody, even her closest friends. But I know that not everyone did that. And I understand that side of it too. But, you know, Nicole really struggled in the game. And I think a big part of it was that she didn't break her contract.
So you feel like that she should have been talking to more people before she went into the house?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, because she didn't, I think it really hurt her game. But I'm not saying that she should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sign a contract saying that you're not going to talk about these things prior. And I know that a lot of people broke their contract, but just because everybody's doing something wrong doesn't make it right. So it's real, you know. That's my 2 cents on that whole topic.
Yeah, okay. You're saying
that's pre-game. That's pre-game.
Yeah. So if you could have given her some advice, do you feel like that you would have said something to her before she went into the house?
I don't know. No, to be honest with you, everyone did their best. I talked to Nicole afterwards, and she said that this is the thing that stuck with me. She said on day one, when she woke up to the music, it was hard for her to get out of bed. And she realized in that moment that she wasn't ready to go back, that all the memories, she went right back to where she was at the end of last year. And I don't think that this is me saying too much when I say this, but it was a lot. She wasn't herself. She wasn't at her A game this season.
Nicole A game.
Yeah. The Nicole A game. But that it's a social experiment. It takes a toll on you. That's to be expected.
More of a Nicole F game.
Wait, what?
It's a report card.
Yeah, I got it. Now I got it. It took me a second.
Tell me, what do you mean about David? You got to only be in the house with him for a couple of weeks, but then he ends up going 60-some-odd days in this game.
Yeah, he did great. He did awesome. I love David. I'm so happy that he got the chance again. It was so cool that he got to represent our season. I'm proud of him. I wish he would have stuck around a little longer. The thing that made me the most mad is that people are, you know, in this jury house segment, people are trying to place blame on him for the game playing out the way it did, the mm-hmm. fact that he had money. But he was on the outskirts the entire game. You take the money when you're in that position. Like, the odds of him winning that veto were very slim. And I don't know. I just feel like, take $10,000. That's a lot of money. That makes sense to me.
Especially Rich, coming from Danny, who took $5,000, went for the $10,000 in an HOH where if Cody hadn't won it, she was very likely to go home that week. Well, there were a lot of people targeting her that week.
Absolutely, yes. It was Davon, Danny, and Kevin, the three of them. It was only Ian was sticking up for David. I was so happy that he did. But I was like, guys, let him take the freaking money. He's $10,000 richer now. He probably wasn't going to win anyway. Mm-hmm. He was at the bottom of the totem pole. So that was the only thing that made me mad about what happened with David this season.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little clueless at some times, but that's all right. There's a learning curve, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Terry, I feel like that Ian is sort of like the three-eyed raven from Game of Thrones at this point. He's like, no, he made the right move. He should have taken the money. That's it. That's it, yeah.
Such a good comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just like, I've been in this jury house for 5,000 years and know everything.
Ian, he's so great.
Yeah, I've loved Jury House Ian so far. He had his ups and downs in the house, but I love that he's walking the walk there in the jury house, and he's like, hey, Nicole made a good move. You made the right call taking the $10,000. He's really trying hard to figure out who's playing the best game. It's all good stuff here.
Yeah.
Big fan of Ian.
Yeah. Tommy, if you were in the house, who would you have worked with this season?
Listen, I'll be completely real. I always am. But as much as I would like to say I would be aligned with who America was rooting for, because it's very easy to say that. Truth is, I probably would have tried to find my way into the committee alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Like the past few years. Usually, look, as much as, you know, when you're a fan of this show, you're rooting for the underdogs. But in reality, the underdogs haven't been winning Big Brother. It's someone from that popular crew. So I probably would have tried to weasel my way into that crew the same way I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Get in with the root.
Yeah. So that's what my goal would have been. I would have tried to work with all those people, Cody, Enzo. I mean, even though Enzo's not in the committee, Christmas, Nicole, Danny. Oh, I love Danny so much. I think she's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she played the best game this season, but I just love her screen presence. I'm obsessed with her. So I think that's probably who I would have tried to work with. Definitely Cody, and I would say Danny. My plan going into 21 was to align myself, before I knew who the cast was, with a strong alpha male and an outspoken woman, intuitive woman.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to use them as my shield. That was my...
And you just didn't know that woman was going to be your aunt's ex-girlfriend.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
But it worked out great. Well, not really. We lost, but...
For a while, though.
Yeah. It was a good run. Tommy, what have you made of Tyler, who sort of like was the bread on both sides of BB21, where he played the season before you and the season after you?
I love Tyler as a person. I think he's amazing. I've had great interactions with him. He's a great guy. I think his game was kind of all over the place this season. I don't mm-hmm. think he... it wasn't a solid game. I think that that's fair to say. He kind of lost himself at times throughout the season. So I think that would he have been as strong of a contender if he was in the end versus a Cody or a Memphis this season? I'm not convinced. Mm-hmm. I think that they should have gotten rid of Christmas instead of Tyler.
Yeah.
He's won competitions, right? Or he won that HOH in the triples and the veto, so maybe he did win more.
He's won more, yeah. But I mean, I was also on that side. Like, I still feel like Cody was in some of the most danger he's ever been in all season long this week, because I think of the call he made to take out Tyler over Christmas. Now, knowing the results, I think, results oriented, he made the right call, because Tyler probably would have won that HOH, and then Cody would have been in more danger this week than he is now. But I was with you at the time, especially, like, I think without knowing the results, I think, odds are more in the favor of just keep Tyler around, get rid of Christmas, make sure you break up that pair.
I'm surprised that Nicole won that comp. I'm happy for her. I thought it was going to be a Christmas win, honestly.
She did it. So let's talk about Nicole's HOH. This is something that I was going to talk about later on in the show with Taryn, but I'd love to get your take on this. So Nicole got a HOH basket and a letter, and she was not happy with what she got, specifically the letter that she got from her fiance, Victor Elfitvic, of course, from Big Brother 18 fame, and then also from The Amazing Race. And she was unhappy with the letter that she ended up getting from Victor. And I would love if you could give us some background just on HOH letters. Taryn, could you just tell us what was the issue with the letter?
The problem was that Victor did not say that he was proud of Nicole. It was very dry. It was very like, wishing you luck, sending positive vibes. She was like, sending positive vibes? What does that even mean, Victor? He's clearly not proud of me. Something must be happening. He's not saying like good things. It's so dry.
Victor's in so much trouble. This letter is going in the binder. Victor, sorry, buddy. Okay. Tommy, could you just tell us, are there certain things you're looking for in an HOH letter?
Absolutely.
What are you looking for?
It's really funny because my parents' letter to me, first of all, I knew my dad wrote it. My parents' letter to me was kind of disappointing, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. This is a big thing.
Yeah, I felt like it wasn't in their own words. It was very disconnected. It was very short. And I felt like there was no substance in it. Like, I didn't feel like I heard their voice in it. And I was looking forward to hearing their voice. And it was very general.
Yeah.
And when I got out, I found out that they really filter, like the production, CBS, they filter what is allowed to be said and what's not allowed. Oh my God, my dad heard me saying that. I'm in his house right now and he's just staring at me at the window. He's making noise that I didn't like his letter.
Can I ask you a little bit just in terms of like how the letter is like, I guess when I was a fan just watching the show, I would think like, oh, I guess that they must send in a new letter every single week. But what do they call the family members on the phone and then like transcribe the message?
Yeah, they call the family members and they write it right then and there. There's like a couple of hours where the families have to write the letters. I think that they have some on file anyway, but they have the option to send in.
Wait, how do you send it? Would you like scan it to them?
Dad!
Do you have to fax it in, Taryn? Do you know how this works?
I know that they write letters like,
he's in
early.
The chat. He says we had to write an email.
What is wait, he said email.
Yeah, we had to email them.
Wait, you're in the chat?
Yeah, I was chatting.
Hi, Philip.
Hi.
Look at this.
Hey.
How are you? Chilltown.
Hey, Chilltown.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's what it was. It was we had to write letters, email, then they would write back and say, well, you know, I really want you to say this. And then we had to, make another letter. And then they were critiquing that. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to write anymore. So I was angry.
So he gave up, and that's what I got.
Yeah.
Well, so what do they say? Like, can you give us an example of something you sort of tried to say, and they said, no, I can't put that?
We're watching you, and you can't say things like that could be related to production, or they wanted to be very vanilla like that. You know. So I actually did give a little secret message, but...
But I didn't get it.
He didn't get it.
What was the secret message?
I was telling... Well, I saw that...
Because was America was ripping us apart, our alliance. They didn't like us because you root for the underdogs. Mm-hmm. Understand?
Yeah.
So he tried to say, be yourself or something?
Be yourself, because I know him and he's not like what they're saying. So I said, just be yourself and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. He didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't get things sometimes.
Well, I think that's the thing, and that's one of the reasons why Nicole is reading so much into the letter, is that like you family members do try to like give you like little hints, and like something weird like not saying that he's proud of her and like intentionally, you know, holding back from the letter is something that she probably read into as like, oh, is this a message to me that like something is wrong, something is bad.
But playing devil's advocate, now coming out, I know what he went through with that process with the letter. So if I were to go back and get a letter that wasn't, that I didn't love, I would just say, oh, it's because it got like, you know, edited from production. Like I wouldn't take it personal, because I'd be like, oh, well, these
you
letters
feel like a three-time player shouldn't be crying over their letter.
Oh, that's what yeah. I feel like. I think that goes back to the fact that we talked about new school players are extremely sensitive to what's going on in the outside world.
A three-time player getting a letter from another person who's also been a player of the game.
Yeah, I'm surprised that she's this shaken up by it. What's that? I honestly. Because yeah. Who knows what the producers took out from Victor's original letter. Maybe he did say, I'm so proud of the way that you're playing. And then they were like, you can't say that you're proud of the way that she's playing, so just take it out. Like, we really don't know what got taken out, what didn't. So right. I feel like I'm just kind of surprised that she's taken this as hard.
Yeah.
As
she well, did. So what Victor has said, so somebody sent me a clip from the podcast that he does. He said that when he was writing a letter earlier in the season, that he was intentionally trying to not say things like, I'm proud of how you're doing. You're doing so great, because he didn't want to like make other people, she's going to read that out loud to other people. He didn't want to put a target on her back. Yeah. And that's exact. Cody was like, I wonder if he's doing it because of this reason. She was like, no. No, he wouldn't do that. But that's why he did it.
Yeah, so...
Anyway, I'm going to go back to work.
Oh, wait, hold on, Philip. I had more questions for you. You're wearing a Chilltown shirt. That I wanted to know, what did you think of your hero, Dr. Will, this season?
I was a little disappointed. I thought it'd be a little more involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get that right, that it was going to be him.
You guessed it. And then also, now you are Tommy's podcast co-host. Are you concerned if you get into a feud with any Big Brother alumni, are you worried that it could one day affect Tommy if he goes back on an All-Star season, that there could be a house guest who's in a feud with his podcast co-host?
I'm a little opinionated, but I actually think I try to balance that pretty well, because I know he has friends. But I think that, you know, I think
honestly, you know, we want to talk about reality shows. You got to be willing to say what's on your mind. If you're giving only the pros and the cons each time, you're not giving a real answer. And people want to hear your opinion, your voice. So mm-hmm. I think it's, and I also feel like players should respect that too. You know,
mm-hmm. I wasn't a big fan of Kevin, so.
I know. He wasn't a big fan. Oh,
this is going to get clipped, and then you guys will be in a season together one day. Like, yeah, I heard that Tommy's dad, Philip, doesn't like me.
Not him personally. It's his game. I didn't like his game. I didn't like his game the first time, and I didn't like his game this time even worse.
Hello to future us 6 years from now, Big Brother 28. We're going to play this clip in the preseason as Kevin and Tommy head into the game.
Okay. All right. Philip, thank you so much. The voice of the people. Yes. Well, look out, Melissa. The new voice of the people. Yes. Okay.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like your dad's shorts, too.
Oh yeah, he's like, oh my God, wait, so funny. Those were the PJs that I got in my HOH basket.
My mother sent me the matching bottoms too, so I had those same pajamas.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my dad. He's freaking crazy. Yeah. But
Tommy, anything else about Big Brother 22 that you want to talk about?
Memphis's game. Can I hear what you guys think about it? I want to hear your thoughts. Like, what are your thoughts on Memphis? Do you guys get worked up in, or do you get?
Taryn doesn't get worked up. Yeah, this is about a wall yeller.
You both don't. You both don't get worked up.
No, I get worked up.
You do?
Yeah.
But what do you got? Like, do you get caught up in what happens online with these players? Do you take that into account when,
like, what?
Like, people hate Memphis. Mm-hmm. Do you, like, but in, I feel like with the reputation that Rob has a podcast that you two have, is that you focus on the game.
Yes. Thank you, Tommy. That is correct.
Yeah, so what are your guys' thoughts on Memphis? Let's take him, for example, because people are hating him the most.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, at least. What are your thoughts on him? I'm curious, because I have my opinions. I'm happy to voice them, but I want to hear what you guys have to say about it, too.
Yeah, well, I think that he's played a game that has been fine. I feel like it's been, you know, very, very straightforward. I know he has the thing with the two final three deals, but I mean, overall, I feel like it's been sort of just a, you know, kind of a bland season for him. He's not really giving us anything other than, okay, I made these deals and that's that, and I'm shutting everything else down. And I just feel like from an entertainment standpoint, he's not giving us anything.
No, not at all. Not one bit, nothing.
Yeah, I think he's played one of the better games this season. I think that his overall, like, what I've been calling his strategy, it's very steampunk to me. It's like, it's very old school, but like adapted to fit the new school style, and it worked. The crazy adapters and, you know, steampunk powered, you know, alliances, it worked. I think he got a little bit lucky with the selection of the members of the committee, that they did happen to be the people that won. And Cody had other options, and if those other options had won, I feel like Memphis might have been pushed out. But beyond that, I think he's played very well. He's kept his connections tight. His end game is the thing that should be locked in better than it is, and we might see him lose because of that. But I've been very impressed. You know, I always saw Memphis as, you know, one of the better players to not win. That, you know, because he lost to Dan, it was like, oh, well, he lost. But losing to Dan is not exactly a mark against you. So I was very excited to see what he was made of coming back. And, you know, he is a little bit older in terms of just like his demeanor and, you know, his actual age than some of the rest of this cast. And he is so old school compared to all the new school players. He's a lot less connected than a lot of those players. And when he came in, I really kind of thought, like, okay, well, am I really going to see Memphis be able to play an okay game here? And he really has been able to get in there, adapt, and play well. And so I've been pretty impressed.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I really do. I was also impressed that he didn't work with the old school players. He was the only old school player to work with the new school players. And I think that I'm curious to
see him and Enzo.
Yeah, but Enzo wasn't in the committee, so it's like...
True.
So it's, he made that alliance, and he did it with all new school players.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only old school player on purpose. So I thought that was really cool, too. As much as, like, I don't like the way that he talked to David in this game, I don't like some of the things that he did on a personal level, I do really like some of the game. I want to honor the game moves that he's made, because I think he has done pretty well, and I think that's important to say.
Yeah, Tommy, to bring this all full circle from what we were talking about in the beginning, is there a change or two that you would like to see the production make in terms of how they should maybe adapt things going into Big Brother 23?
Okay, so I've talked about this before. You know, people are so opinionated when it comes to Big Brother, what should be done. We should, you know, with, in terms of casting, having representation. And while I do feel like that's really important, there are so many layers to this thing that we don't know about because we're not on the inside. We don't have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the people that are high up in Big Brother that are running the game, they're doing the best that they can. And I just, at this point, I've learned to, I really trust them. So yes, I do think that the game needs some adapting, but I want to recognize the fact that I don't have all the information. I don't know what the ratings are and what it means for ads and who's watching this show, who the viewers are.
Sure. And Taryn has made the case that, you know, the production also has gotten very unlucky in terms of that, you know, probably four or five different times this season that, you know, one different break goes another way. And you would have had a HOH that was not part of the big mega alliance. But unfortunately, that just was not the case this season. So you could make an argument that they did get unlucky with a lot of stuff here in Big Brother 22. But
I can agree, yeah.
Is there any one thing though that you think that they should is worth giving a shot?
Yeah, something that I thought people, something I saw someone bring up on Twitter. Maybe you guys have talked about this before. Not saying what the number of the votes are. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? As opposed to saying by a vote of 3-2, so people are trying to figure out what the votes are. Just saying, and like so and so is evicted. That way you don't know who voted where, what the numbers were. You can't figure it out. I think that it would encourage people to vote based on, not be afraid of their vote.
Yeah. More. Well, let me weigh in on this. And then I'm sure Taryn has probably spent a lot of time thinking about this. But I feel like that I probably was in that camp a couple of years ago. But I almost feel like that of the little bit of drama that we got this season, I feel like that 75-80% of the drama that we got surrounded the revealing of the vote count when Julie says by a vote of this between the Hinky vote. So I kind of feel like that it did. In a season where there wasn't much drama, I feel like that it did added something. Taryn, what do you think? Should they say how many people cast their votes?
I think they should. I think it's the right call. I can see like where the idea comes from, but I think you're right. Like especially like season 20, which is you know probably one of the highlights of the last you know 5 years of seasons. A lot of it was so good because the votes were read, because there were Hinky votes thrown, that people were expecting a vote to go one way and it went another way, and that people were framed for votes, and it was very exciting. And then in addition to that, I don't think it would actually function the way that people want it to not read the votes, because I think having the vote count actually encourages people more often to vote their conscience and to cast, you know, rogue votes because you see the votes. If the votes are not read, then you have to look at it from like, what does that incentivize? If you're the majority alliance and the votes aren't read, then you can't risk voting another way. You all have to, like, you're going to impress upon them the importance. Like, everybody needs to vote this way because the votes aren't read and other people might get ideas. So we can't take risks like that. We need to all pile on our votes, make sure we're all on the same page because, you know, the risk is now much greater and thus we need to play a lot tighter.
I don't know. I still think I disagree with you guys, to be honest.
Well, as a person who's, you know, played and gotten to the, you know, right at the end of the game, how do you see it going differently?
I mean, I feel like, you know, in terms of Hinky votes, I remember when Jackson threw the only Hinky vote in our season and immediately we were like, Jackson, it was you. Like, don't even fucking, sorry, in person. Don't even try. Like,
okay, please, come on. Your dad is watching, Tommy.
I know. Yeah. Sorry, Dad. But I just feel like you always know who threw the Hinky vote. You have an idea. So like, I just think that you wouldn't be as afraid to vote who you really want out. Mm-hmm. And I think that yes, with the drama that we've had this season was from the Hinky votes. But would we have more drama because would there be more blindsides if people were not voting, if you weren't revealing the numbers?
Think about if it changes the outcome, people are still going to count. Where did those votes come from? How did they get a majority? And they're still going to figure out. So unless you really want somebody to stay and you're willing to be outed, you're still going to have to vote that way. And there's not really any incentive for you to cast a vote for your conscience if the vote is never read anyway.
Right.
So why, unless you actually want that person to stay and you're willing to stick your neck out and be exposed as part of a majority that made that happen, then you're not going to vote that way anyway. So I feel like it actually, like I said, I feel like it might decrease the incentive to actually vote a different way.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, but I still think that because when someone comes to you, like say, okay, two people are on the block, A and B. A is the target of the house, but there's a small group of people that want B out, and they're trying to get more people to join their side. And truth be told, B should be the target. Then I'm going to maybe think about actually siding with voting out B, because yes, it would be exposed. People could figure it out, but you're less afraid. Sorry, this is getting like confusing. I don't even know if I'm making sense.
Yeah.
I just feel like if, say, I were to vote and I would be on the wrong side of the vote, I wouldn't be exposed and I wouldn't be scared of that. So I would be more willing to be brave.
Yeah.
Vote.
Tommy, I have some bad news for you, that your dad in the chat said, Thomas, Taryn is right.
Oh, God.
What a traitor.
No, this is our everything, always.
I think that is a good point, Tommy. I think if the reason you're not casting that vote is the risk of, like, say, Tyler and Christmas being exposed as having tried to flip that vote, then you are more willing to make that attempt.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I think it only ever impacts a spot where, because like nobody ever really casts a vote not knowing whether or not it's going to work. I feel like it probably won't end up impacting any situations, because either you know you have the votes or you know you don't have the votes. And if you know you don't have the votes and you still cast your vote that way, it's still not going to go anywhere. Yeah. And then there's no drama, there's no fallout, because nobody knows that you did it. And so it doesn't even matter that the vote was split, because nobody knows that the vote was split. But I think that is a good point. There may be some scenarios where it gives somebody just that little bit of boost. But I personally would still go the other way.
All right. But what do you guys think? I want to know what you guys think in terms of what could be done to adapt the game.
Oh, that I think you're talking to the chat. I think it was like the royal you guys. One of the things I've been saying this season is that I feel like that if they were to sort of play the game in teams for the first, 2, 3, 4 weeks, I think that would prevent sort of like the big, 10-person alliance from forming in the house, where basically there's some sort of a breakdown where it's, this group of eight is eligible for elimination this week, this group of eight is eligible for elimination the next week, and then at some point you have some sort of like a survivor-type merge, and then everybody is up to be available to be up on the block.
So format it more like Survivor. And I've also seen that people would love to have like a sort of like a hidden immunity idol kind of twist in Big Brother too.
Mm-hmm.
Using currency to buy yourself
fire
out.
Tokens.
Yeah, buy tokens, something like that.
Yeah,
that is something a little bit like that before. But I don't think they need to do anything dramatically new. Personally, I've been really researching this actually, because it's been such a big topic. I think there are four key areas that are contributing toward the success of big alliances. I think it's first of all the twists that they often implement, things like Battle of the Block, Roadkill, MVP. They all encourage big alliances. Alliances. Mm-hmm. So twists that help the minority are going to be better, and most of the twists tend to help the majority, and that's not.
And this season actually did have a twist that was helpful to the people that were in danger.
Yes. Yeah, the safety suite, which was good. It was helpful, and it did prevent them from being able to just immediately storm out Kacer and Janelle, which was good.
Mm-hmm. So that's how bad things were this season. They actually had a twist that helped the people that were on the outs, and it didn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't think there is one major thing that contributes. I think it's death by a thousand cuts. It's just little percentage points here and there that more encourage big alliances to stick together, and it helps them succeed. And so even things like the powers that they gave out this season, which did end up helping the minority a little bit, but also more often than not will help the majority because it's handed out fairly randomly. The majority is more likely to win those powers. We saw that happen on your season, Tommy, when Christy was able to get a power and use it to protect the majority.
You said you had four things. You just gave us a twist.
One. Yeah. That's twist is one thing. Competitions is another. We saw this a lot on Tommy's season. The end game competitions were very, very physical. To the point where it basically gave Jackson the win. And in the season prior to that, they were very physical. Just in general, physicality is a big part of it. Athleticism is a big part of the competitions. It's something that I've been pointing out for a while. Beyond that, I'm not entirely sure what it is. I'm still trying to research like where this change comes from. But in the last, even just 10 seasons since Big Brother 12, one alliance has been able to win a greater and greater percentage of the competitions than the previous seasons. Previous seasons, the big alliance would form and they would win a roughly equivalent amount of competitions based on the percentage that they had of the cast. Right. Since Big Brother 12, you'd have a similar, like 40% of the cast is in an alliance, but they're winning now 70% of the competitions, 80% of the competitions. In this case, it's basically like 100%. In Big Brother 16, it was something like 90%. And so nowadays, people are able to identify who the competition winners are going to be, gather them together in a group, and then they win all the competitions. So that's a big part of it as well.
Yep.
Then we have the cast size. When this is something that I've talked about with Rob, that the bigger the cast size, the more likely people are to huddle up in a group early on because there's so much of the game that they need to survive in order to get to the part where they can play. And as an individual, you have much less agency the more people are in the game. We've seen another correlation with cast size to big alliances, to competition wins, to twists that encourage big alliances. It all comes together. And then I think a final component is the jury. When you see somebody like Paul lose Big Brother 19 by taking Josh to the end, it encourages play like Josh's play, where you do stay loyal to Josh to Paul all the way through. When you see Tyler lose to Casey, encourages people to stick to the big alliance, stay loyal, because you can win. You don't need a resume as big. As long as you can get there in the end with somebody that might have pissed the jury off a little bit more, then you can win. And we're seeing this happen right now with Enzo and Cody, where Enzo feels like the jury is going to be bitter against Cody because they're telling him he is going to be bitter against Cody. And it's encouraging Enzo to not turn on Cody, because why would he need to? He doesn't need to create a huge resume for himself. As long as he's sitting next to Cody, who people are mad at, then he's fine. In Survivor, we see the opposite. Jeff Probst has been pushing big moves, resumes, sit in the driver's seat for so long that we see this now. It's part of the Survivor meta that you need to make big moves. You can't just be complacent. You can't sit next to the person who ran the alliance, because you will lose. And because of that, we're seeing people turn on each other much more often. Right. We're seeing much more fluidity in the game.
The host of Big Brother is preaching.
From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves, and remember, be just, be merciful.
Yeah, that's, be merciful, be kind.
I love her. She's
that's
so
how you win.
Yeah, and so, and like I said, I don't think it's
Jeff
just
Probst would any, never say that.
Yeah, I don't think it's any one of those things, but I think they all help contribute toward an environment where the deck is stacked toward big alliances, and you can still get lucky, like we almost did this season a couple of times, where we might have had a Janelle HOH, or we might have had a Kacer HOH, and it might have shaken things up. But the odds are more heavily in the favor of big alliances as all four of these things combine and add up in little ways.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about that jury thing. I don't know if I 100% agree with you there. Because I feel
your jury was a counterpoint to the recent trend that you did end up voting for Jackson over Holly.
Yeah, because I felt like it was the past years that pushed us, because we would talk about in jury, like, we're not going to be a bitter jury like seasons 19 and 20. We're going to player who played the best game. And we knew that the only person that really could have given Jackson a run for his money was Cliff. That's how we felt, at least I remember as a whole. So I feel like, I don't know if I 1,000% agree with you there. I think it kind of switches year to year based on what happens. And it's just the people, like some people take it more personal and some people can separate game and personal. But
I think,
I don't know if I, yeah, you know, I don't
I think
know
it tends,
I agree, but I do see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it tends to follow the audience reaction to the decision. So when Paul lost to Josh, there was a large portion of the audience that was like, yes. And they kind of celebrated that jury and they gave the foreperson of that jury America's favorite player. But when in Big Brother 20, when Tyler lost to Casey, the audience was like, no. And Tyler was America's favorite player. And so sort of a reaction to that was, I think, you know, your season to a degree. Not to say that you were all influenced by exactly that, but like the zeitgeist of, you know, Tyler losing was a lot more negative. And that helped encourage a vote for a bigger player. And then if you get more and more of that, then I think it encourages people to take out the bigger player and to cause more power shifts and so on and so forth.
And the good news is that this season, no matter what happens, there is no popular player that's going to be in the final two. So people will be able to be a lot more even keel and level headed about this.
I know. I'm so sad about it. You know, it was so fun to root for those underdogs, and now that they're all gone, it's a little just fun to watch. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm learning so much about the game watching a season after having been on, being a part of this online community. I'm learning so much. So I'm really, I'm just loving it. I'm loving it. I really
Who
am.
Knows more, you or your dad?
Definitely me.
Okay.
I must say, he's giving me a run for his money. Like, I came home the other day and he was on the end of Big Brother 6. He had watched the whole season again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. He's doing his research. Like,
yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Tommy, thank you so much for coming on to join us. Tell us one more time, if people want to hear you and the great Philip Bracco on the podcast, where do they go?
Our podcast is called Real Talk, and talk is spelled T-A-W-K, because that's how we say it in New York.
T-A-W-K, got it.
Yeah, so Real Talk Podcast, that's where you can find us. Yes. We're on Apple and Spotify.
And who's the other, then your cousin is in the mix too?
Yeah, my cousin Angelica, she's my best friend. She's very opinionated, loud, and her and my dad usually are fighting, and I'm the one in the middle, is kind of usually the way.
Why is Philip fighting with Angelica?
She has a lot to say. If you think that he's opinionated, you haven't met her yet. Like, she's the worst, but I'm obsessed with it. We have so much fun. We just giggle the whole entire time. It's so much fun. I love doing the podcast with them. I really do.
Okay.
And now we're covering The Bachelor. The Bachelorette. That's what we're going to start covering.
Okay, yeah, it's coming back. They've got a bubble going. All right, so check that out. And then, Tommy, where can people follow you?
At Tommy Bracco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice and simple. All right, Tommy, thank you so much. Okay.
You guys are amazing. Thank you. This was so much fun. I love you both. Honestly.
Oh,
both
Tommy, we're obsessed with you.
Yes.
You guys. okay, cool. This has been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Come back anytime, Tommy. Okay.
Yes. Right. I'd love to.
Take care. Bye.
See you later.
Okay. All right. There you go, Taryn. All right. I still have a lot of stuff to get to. Just an update. No exit interview so far.
Still nothing.
Yeah. Look, when, you know, people say that Tyler goes back on his deals, I think he's a man of his word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When
he says, maybe when he says something, he means it. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes he changes his mind. Okay. Let's talk about some other things. Taryn, let me... this was a little bit of a interesting piece of news we got today. I know that one of your ops, Taryn, one of your least favorites is the wall yeller. You are not a fan of the person who goes... over, and I'm not sure if it's just one person or if it's multiple people, the person who is the wall yeller.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems to me like it might be a lot one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So the Wall Yeller has gone. Does the Wall Yeller have like an identity on social media? Like, do they have an official name?
Probably, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's share with you. The Wall Yeller has posted a letter that was received from the powers that be over at Big Brother, and then has gone to Twitter to be able to share it with the world. Let me read to you what the Wall Yeller has shared with us. The Wall Yeller is reading this letter.
Again, we write to you on behalf of our client, CBS Broadcasting, which you know is the exclusive distributor of the television series Big Brother. You were...
Well, I'll just give you some of the highlights. You were again identified near the CBS property on September 22nd, 2020, where you proceeded to shout profanities towards CBS personnel.
Yeah, I like it. So they detail you first did it on September 6th without permission. You announced details regarding the show with the intentions that these details be revealed to the house guests. Then you came again. And I like this one. This one is not that they yelled at the house guests, but this one is the one you proceeded to shout profanities towards CBS personnel, where apparently they were just they were caught by security and they were just yelling profanities at them as they ran away.
Yes. Okay. Taryn, obviously this letter is not going to get the message, I don't think, since the Wall Yeller has taken to Twitter to go and now share this. I don't think they're taking this seriously.
No, I don't think so. This is the second letter they've received as well. That's detailed in the next paragraph. That this is that shortly after the first time they sent them a letter the first time, and that that this is actually the next letter.
Yes. Okay. So, Taryn, what I was hoping that we could do is, could we work on rewriting this letter to maybe get the message across? Maybe if we could we do give some notes on this letter.
I mean, yes. Should we talk about the final portion of the letter?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. What else is the Wall Yeller up to?
So they said, despite our outreach via phone, email, social media, various accounts, and physical delivery of our initial letter, we've yet to receive a response. Although I guess this is a response, posting it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. That since then, you've taken to tracking down evicted house guests who are now part of the Big Brother jury and attempting to yell messages to these individuals. Your actions amount to harassment and interfere with the contestants in production of the show. Stop ruining the enjoyment of the fans. It says as well that you have to cease and desist your interference with any fans.
I mean, we're
using
the words enjoyment very loosely.
Yes.
I don't know how much enjoyment the fans are having.
This person has tracked down the jury house and is yelling into the jury house
trying to interfere. Yell in the jury house?
I don't know. Who knows? This person is like trying to secretly interfere with the game.
Maybe they're just like,
Memphis is coming next. Get ready for Memphis. He's on his way.
Maybe
the veto.
You know, maybe this person is a Memphis fan. Maybe they're like, don't vote for Cody and Nicole sucks. So vote for Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, we do have a clue to the identity of the Wall Yeller. The Wall Yeller has included their thumb right here in the photo. Let's see. Can we get a good zoom on this, Taryn?
All right. Forensic evidence here.
Yes. The thumb. So this appears to be a gentleman's thumb, cuticle, not great.
Yes.
Kind of a sharp edge there on the thumbnail.
Yes, we can also say must be a good runner as they have been able to evade capture.
Okay. All right. Even Enzo's stalker is like, hey, that's a little too close on the thumb there, Rob. Back up. Just back up. All right. But what I was hoping we could do is work on rewriting this letter so that we can maybe get the message across. Okay. So why don't we start off with Dear Mr. Wall Yeller.
Yes. Okay.
We are very proud of you.
Ooh, we're taking a reverse approach here.
Well, we know that if your letter doesn't start with "we're proud of you," then the wall, yes, it's not sinking in that the wall yeller needs to not, that the people at the powers that be, they need to not duplicate the mistakes that Victor made in his letter.
Correct. Yes. You make it be very clear. You're very proud. You're on their side.
We are very proud of you for everything that you've done. And we are not sending positive vibes.
No positive vibes.
We
not wishing any luck.
We are wishing you. You are kicking butt.
Yep.
Because that was something that Nicole wanted that Victor didn't send.
Yes. People might not understand your methods, but when you have an objective, you do what it takes to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, your podcast is doing great. Just to give you a quick update on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're America's favorite wall yeller.
Yes. Yes.
Also, that the wall yellers in Janelle and Rachel season could not compete with you, wall yeller of Big Brother 22.
Yep.
Yes. And we hope you've done it. You've accomplished all of the wall yelling, and you have, we release you from your duties of wall yelling for Big Brother 22. You've accomplished your mission. Congratulations.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
I think it includes all of the markers of a successful letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how you proud, kicking butt, mm-hmm. Janelle sucks, podcast doing great.
Update, yeah.
You've still been evicted
Nailed
fewer
it.
Times than I have.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Taryn, let's talk about something else that's a news item from today. I know a lot of the listeners wanted to hear us talk about this. And this comes by way of TMZ. And this is actually a happier story than most of the TMZ stories we talk about in the world of Big Brother. So let me bring this one up for people to check out. TMZ, of course, is always covering the Big Brother beat. They've got a story about a slop favorite. That is Mr. Pauly Calafiore. Yes, Pauly Calafiore, that TMZ is reporting from Big Brother to bobsled track. He's gunning for the Olympics. Apparently, Lolo Jones has recruited Pauly Calafiore to compete as a member of the U.S. men's bobsled team.
I mean, Rob, he was bred for this.
Yes, the men's bobsled team.
Yeah, this, what is the Cool Running? Is that
yes.
the movie?
Yes, well, it's so funny because Lolo Jones reached out to Pauly Calafiore and said, hey, you should compete in the popular winter sport. And we're told that when Pauly's first call with the coaches, they asked him, what do you know about bobsledding? And he said, I watched Cool Runnings as a kid.
So, wait, hold on. I also watched Cool Runnings as a kid. I mean, I'm just saying, if Lolo is interested, I feel like I am equally qualified.
Okay. All right. So are you willing to go with the training regimen that Pauly Calafiore is currently undergoing? All right, here he is. You want to check this out?
Yes.
That Pauly Calafiore, he is pushing a tire.
Ooh.
This is how you get ready for bobsled.
Tires do make me angry.
Mm-hmm. He's just rolling the tire and then pick up that tire and then put it on top of the other tire.
Yeah, get that tire.
Now go back. And now he's going to do pull-ups.
What is his hair right now?
Yeah, his hair is weird.
Yes? What is that? That's just terrible form with these pull-ups.
Look, Tara, what do you know about the bobsled team?
I know that the bobsled team, you don't want to be
tires.
Using your momentum here.
Mm-hmm.
So do your pull-ups.
This is the training video.
I feel like he's just doing tires again.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just tires and pull-ups? Tires and bad form pull-ups?
Yeah, that's right. That his training regimen includes 2 to 3 hours of virtual mobility and flexibility session, 2 to 3 hours of strength training and sprinting sessions, and a strict 5,000 calorie a day diet.
Bread for this.
Yeah.
It's a lot of meat.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection, and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't gonna feed themselves. So your boy needs his meat.
Could you imagine, Taryn, at the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, if we're watching the men's bobsled? Now for the men's bobsled team, we have the very interesting story of Pauly Calafiore. His brother competed in the U.S. reality TV series Big Brother 16. Pauly was recruited to play in the season Big Brother 18. Since then, he's gone on to appear on The Challenge many seasons. He has a very active following on some various adult websites.
And now, his brother recently won the All-Star season.
Recently was also a Big Brother champion. And now here he is competing with the U.S. men's bobsled team.
Yeah. He competes. They obviously dominate. And then as he's celebrating by doing his dance moves, mm-hmm. Like
still
doing
crushing
some twists. Yeah. And he's like getting in the faces of the other bobsledders, like, oh, like doing some twirls in front of them. Yeah.
Huge news today. So congratulations. Are there any other Olympic sports that you could see some Big Brother alumni making their way into the Olympics? Anything for Christmas?
Christmas. I mean, she's all about the CrossFit.
Not an Olympic athlete or Olympic sport, though.
I mean, I think we should definitely recruit the wall runner, wall yeller to do some running for us.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else we got here?
Could Enzo compete in any Olympic sport?
He's got a great lower body, he says all the time. I think
that's
I'm wondering how
the foot stalker says.
I know,
too.
I'm wondering that, and I'm trying to make this connection now. I'm wondering how much of his confidence in his lower body comes from this foot stalker.
Yeah.
I'm
not sure just how great Enzo's lower body actually is. I think that I've heard that Enzo has some issues with his lower body. And
he does.
Enzo, you have hemorrhoids.
You have hemorrhoids.
Oh, Enzo.
Yeah, maybe Enzo's more of a Summer Olympics guy.
Enzo would not be.
That's a spritz of water.
Yeah.
Enzo would not have fun on the bobsled. It's too much sitting.
Okay. Taryn, are you interested in hearing about some of the house guest dreams? This is something I feel like that could be a good segment on the live feed update, that I feel like that you must hear the house guests talk about different dreams that they have.
Well, you have to understand, Rob, that as soon as somebody starts talking about a dream they had, I tend to switch to the other feed.
I would tune in. I would tune in for that because I want to know exactly what's going on. And we have a great listener to The Slop, and his name is Hayden. He goes by the name Red Lightning BB, and he has been sending me for a few weeks now the assorted dreams that the house guests are having, and we have some updates for this week about some house guest dreams. We had some good ones from Christmas in particular. She is the most active dreamer in the house. She's had some many dreams. A lot of them involve that somebody is trying to kidnap her baby. But she recently had a good one where she was married to the actor Sam Elliott. So here are some house guest dreams. Okay, let's see. Do we have any dreamy music to play for our house guest dream segment? Okay, here.
I think being married to Sam Elliott would help with the baby kidnapping, right?
Why?
I just feel like he's got the mustache, mm-hmm. You know.
Like, oh, he's like old. He probably doesn't have any babies to steal.
Like he's definitely played like a cowboy or something in the past, like Tombstone or something. Like he's got some toughness to him. He can help find your baby and get it back by, you know, mm-hmm. drawing the guns. I'll draw the pistol out of her tattoo.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is one. Memphis talks about lucid dreaming and how as a kid he would fight villains and monsters in his nightmares. He tried to teach River how to do it, and River looked at him like he's crazy. Is that why Memphis goes to sleep so early, Taryn? Because he's having incredible lucid dreams.
Yeah, see, you know, what you guys don't understand, Memphis, he has a lot of responsibility on his back. You know, you think of like Atlas holding the world on his shoulders. Memphis, he does us a service every single night. He goes to bed early and he fights off the monsters. I mean, if he wasn't doing this for us, who knows what kind of havoc they could wreak on the earth. Wow. He's truly a hero.
This is like a new prestige drama. So Memphis is sort of like a reverse Freddy Krueger that has to go into the dream world and, you know, beat back all the monsters.
Yeah.
That's why he's tired.
Yeah, he's got no energy for like anybody's not. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't understand. It doesn't even matter. I'm fighting monsters every night. Like, that's what matters. I need to keep training for that.
Okay. Then, like the bobsled team. We have a Nicole dream. Nicole F dream. Okay. Nicole woke up and she didn't know where she was. This is, I guess, in the dream she woke up. She thought she was in a cabin because in her dream she was camping with family. The bunks in the have-not room reminded her of a cabin, which made her even more confused.
Sounds like that was a very confusing situation for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. No camping for Nicole Victor also.
So the dream was that she was in a cabin and then she woke up and she thought she was still in the cabin.
Mm-hmm. She woke up. She didn't know where she was. She thought she was in the cabin because in her dream, she was camping. The bunks in the have-not room reminded her of a cabin, which made her even more confused. Not sure if that's in the dream or after waking up.
See, this is why I switched the feats.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, here was a dream from Tyler. Tyler had a dream, and in his dream, Nicole was going to keep him.
Whatever.
Yeah. That was not going to happen.
Yeah, see, Tyler, you know, he...
Oh, freaking way!
Tyler's very practiced. He has a lot of experience with people who like to manifest things into existence. He's working very hard, working overtime to manifest Nicole into wanting to keep it. And you know what, Rob?
Yes.
Nicole did want to keep Tyler.
Yeah.
A couple days ago. It happened.
But I don't know when because she hated Christmas so much.
Well, that was part of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Tyler's dream specified why she wanted to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It did not specify.
So there it is. I think he manifested this into existence. The problem is he didn't realize he also needed to dream that Enzo wanted to keep him because Enzo's the one that talked Nicole out of it.
Yeah. Maybe he was just dreaming when she wanted to keep him, but wasn't dreaming. Like it wasn't Thursday in his dream.
Yeah, that maybe that's the problem. Maybe, mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like, oh, wow, Nicole wants to keep me. I'm solid. I'm in.
Yeah. Okay. Christmas dream. Christmas went to Florida to go pick up Loyal. He was not kidnapped this time. They went to the gym and Loyal took a nap while she worked out. Very mundane dream.
Thrilling. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know if you are the child of Christmas and you're at a gym and she's working out, like, how swole is this baby getting?
Wait, so
like, who's training the baby?
The baby is working out at the gym?
I'm just curious, like, how much does the baby bench? Like, I don't know. I don't know if you're not curious about this, mm-hmm. but I'm very curious. Like, does a baby even lift, bro? Like, I'm pretty sure, probably, right?
Do you think that the baby feels a lot of pressure to lift, or that Loyal will be a disappointment in his mother's eyes if he does not bench his weight pretty soon?
Yeah, like if he's not cracking, you know, some plates out, if he's not at two plates for the deadlift yet, like, what are you doing, baby? Like, we need to get what? That's we're looking at like 10 times your body weight, mm-hmm. at least, maybe 20.
Yeah,
I don't know how big the baby is at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's what he got for his birthday. He got
we're trying to break records here.
Okay, all right. Got another Christmas dream, and Taryn, this one takes a turn. Bad news. Loyal has been kidnapped again.
Oh, no. Good thing he's been working out.
In Target this time. Loyal was kidnapped in Target, and Christmas also kidnapped, too.
Separately?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They both... So, hold on. So, there's two factions of kidnappers... That just happened to one grab the baby and one grabbed Christmas.
Yeah, I think that they were probably working together. I think they split up. So you get the baby, I'll get Christmas.
Okay.
You get Sam Elliott. Yeah.
This is one operation going on.
And so in the middle of being kidnapped, she and Loyal somehow transported to a trailer in the desert. There was a convoy of trucks heading in their direction. Christmas ran down a hill to escape. And she suddenly reappeared in Target.
What about the baby?
I don't know. I don't know where he is.
He's
on his own.
The baby is still in the trailer with Walter White. Like, what's going on here?
I don't know. Maybe Loyal is like baby Jack-Jack and he has like powers to like transport them.
Well, he can lift 20 times his body weight, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah. And then finally, one other dream. Enzo. This is Hayden tells us Hayden, the dream catcher, who's he's given himself the name hashtag dream catcher. he says,
and
Enzo has been having weird dreams, too. There were some quote unquote creepers in the park. No further elaboration. That's it, yo.
That's it, yo. That's what I'm trying to say, yo. There's some creepers in the park, yo. That's it. I was trying to take my feet pics, and there were just some creepers there, you know?
There were some creepers in the park. No word any of the creepers were Enzo's foot stalker.
Yeah. I mean, given the history here, I'm kind of feeling like what was he showing to these creepers? Mm-hmm. Like, what's... Like if he's taking pictures and sending them to his stalkers, then what's going on in this park, Enzo?
I don't know.
No judgment.
Well, that's what you get when you're, you know, he's just leading these stalkers on with all these toe pictures. They followed him out to the park.
Yeah, it's I mean, he's telling us about one of the foot stalkers. I'm curious, like, what is he not telling us about? Well, who are these other creepers in his dreams?
I think a lot.
Yeah.
Taryn, I got a couple more quick things for you. We talked about Cody and the Dodo edit, and this was a clip that was sent my way about the house guests talking about the different astrological signs. Now, I take it you're not exactly Jenny Autumn when it comes to talking about astrological signs, correct?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay. So we did find out that Enzo is a Capricorn. So here's what Cody's take on that is.
Huh. What's Enzo?
I don't know.
Enzo, when's your birthday?
Capricorn.
Capricorn.
You like corn?
Yeah. That's what that means, right?
Right? I mean, yeah, that makes sense to me. You like caps, you like corns, you like capris.
You're a Capricorn, so you must like corn. I'm sure he's joking, maybe. But like that's like a 5-year-old joke.
God, honestly, Rob, it's the kind of joke I would make.
You're a Capricorn, so you must like corn.
Yeah.
You're an Aries, so I guess you like air.
Yeah, do you like air? Do you like rice? Right? Reese, rice, close.
Yeah, what's your sign, Taryn?
It's Aries.
Aries, oh, okay.
Yeah, I do like rice.
Yeah, all right. I'm a Libra, but I'm not. Let's leave this to the imagination, okay? let's talk about one other clip. Did you see that Julie Chen Moonves happened to be on another Big Brother podcast this week?
I did. I noticed.
Yes. Okay. We have a clip that was shared with us from one of our listeners, Bradley Michael. He sends us a lot of clips, and I always appreciate it for the slop. And this was a clip of Julie Chen Moonves talking with the panel, with Rachel Swindler and company, over on the Great Outside of the House podcast. And so let's listen in to this clip, because I think this was a fun one shared with us from Bradley. Okay, so the question here is, Bradley wants to know, does Julie think that Rachel Swindler was named Angela? That's the question. So let's listen to this clip, and then you be the judge. Does Julie Chen Moonves think that Rachel Swindler is named Angela?
I told Tyler during the commercial break, you won the biggest prize of all, love. You found Angela in the house, so. Other
Yes,
Angela.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Other Angela. The other Angela. I told.
Okay. Yeah, he found the other Angela, not you.
So hold on, I might be remembering this wrong because I just saw this. It was Rachel and three.
Yeah, here's
people. Rachel and two other people.
Yeah, Rachel, two other people. Right. Yeah,
let's play. Unlikely let's, that either of those people are named Angela.
Let's watch.
Right?
Let's watch the clip again. Okay. All right. So let's see.
I told Tyler during the commercial break, you won the biggest prize of all, love. You found Angela in the house. So, other
Yes,
Angela.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Other Angela. The other Angela.
Okay. Now, some people in the chat are saying, could she be referring to Angie Rockstar, who has never once been referred to as Angela? Because is that possible, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why she would need to make that distinction. She not you, right? Like, not like.
Yeah, it does seem like she says that. Let's see.
Love. You found Angela in the house, so. Other
Yes,
Angela.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Other Angela. Yeah, she Angela. Points, not you.
What's wrong with Angela?
Yeah. I don't know, Rachel. You tell us what's wrong with being Angela.
Rachel's catchphrase has become so attached to her identity that she is now seen as Angela. Like, she has become the Angela.
Mm. Yeah. I also like that that we talk about this with Jeff Probst a lot, but I think that Julie has now adopted one of Jeff's mannerisms.
I told Tyler during the commercial break, you won the biggest prize of all, love.
Always during the family visit, Jeff is like, all right, who's ready for some love? Now Julie is like, that's one of the huge prizes for Big Brother.
Love. Yeah, it's the biggest prize of all.
Yeah,
love.
Not you, Angela. The other Angela.
Now, on the next episode, at the end of the next eviction episode, Julie's going to say, "And remember, the biggest prize of all is love."
Yeah, but there was nobody won love this season. Maybe Victor will come back in the, and maybe that's part of the 2-hour episode. Maybe Nicole's going to marry Victor live on the 2-hour finale.
And everyone gets an invite.
Yeah, everybody could be there this time. Taryn, what are they going to do in that 2-hour finale? They have not ever done a 2-hour U.S. Big Brother finale, right?
No, I mean, it's probably going...
I mean, did they do it last season? I don't remember.
I mean, they often do like at least an hour and a half.
It's usually 90 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, they obviously can't have like a live like pre-jury coming in. They might have to do like a Zoom call. I don't know. Maybe they're not going to do it live. That would be lovely, but I'm sure they're going to tape to live, which is going to be worse. But I don't know. Maybe it's like, maybe they filmed it beforehand. They have a longer jury questioning segment. That would be
nice.
That's
what we always tell ourselves, but that's not what they're going to do.
Maybe it's, honestly, here's what it's probably going to be. It's probably going to be that they need 2 hours because, they need the extra time just in case it takes forever to like do the Zoom questions via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And so it's just going to be like an hour of like nine 2-minute questions via Zoom with like a bunch of commercial breaks in between.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe we'll talk to like all the other assorted characters. Enzo's foot stalker, the wall yeller, Tommy's
Rob,
dad.
I sent you a link from Enzo's Instagram account.
Yes, I saw that.
I believe it's Enzo's Instagram account.
Okay, am I looking for something in particular, or we want to see if Enzo has posted any foot stalker?
I don't know if you didn't get the specific one I sent you, but he has posted a picture of his foot. It's such a tease, though.
Oh yes, okay. Here we go.
Such a tease.
So here is. Let's take a look at Enzo and his Enzo's Instagram. Okay, all right. Here's Enzo on Instagram. Enzo has found the Woody Woodpecker on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But if you scroll down, there's just a little.
It's a little tease.
No soul. No soul. Top of the
foot. Little foot tease.
Little foot tease. Top of the soul. Okay.
In the caption, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
All?
Yeah. What else is Enzo sharing here on the Insta? Okay. Let's see. A lot of Enzo family pictures. Enzo riding a bike.
What is that? Hold on.
Which one?
Come back up.
Enzo in the public bathroom?
Well, up one more.
Yeah.
One more.
Yes.
On the right.
Yes. Okay. Here's Enzo. And this is, a Dwight Squall video.
Oh.
I'm not sure if this is necessarily, if we can play any. Let me play the audio. It's probably inappropriate.
Now return to your regular programming.
Oh, okay. It was a tease for Dwight Squall. I don't know who the other guy is in Dwight Squall. I think Matt Hoffman mentioned him on the last episode that we did. Here's Enzo in a public bathroom, appears to be, and he says, hashtag F Mondays mood. Again, I do not know why Enzo is taking selfies in a men's restroom.
Well, look, he tried the spritzer.
Yeah.
It didn't work out well. It's like, I got to make myself feel better.
That's the spritzer water.
Yeah. And then Enzo says he posts the foot stuff in the in his stories, which we don't have access to.
I really feel like that Woody Woodpecker was a subtle message to the foot stalker.
Okay. All right. Yes. All right.
Here's a little taste.
There you go. There's Enzo. If you want to follow Enzo on social, that he is at ENZP_. What a Twitter name for the meow meow. ENZP_. Nailed it.
That's what I'm trying to say, yo. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Taryn,
you want to see my feet, yo? Come on.
We don't want to see it. Anything else that you want to talk about that you don't get to talk about on the live feed updates?
They are so sick of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like, they are trying everything.
Yeah.
They're doing everything in their power to avoid having to just be in her vicinity. Cody is talking about, like, he sometimes will just, like, ask to go to the diary room just so he cannot have to be around Christmas anymore. That anytime people are talking privately, they're like, oh my God, is Christmas going to come?
Mm-hmm. Oh, every man. Time they show her on the show, she's just like sitting like on a couch, like alone by herself.
She has a lot of energy. Nicole at one point was like, can we hopefully, is there going to be a competition that is based on Christmas's birth story?
Loyal's birth.
I believe life story is also probably applicable, but
could you retell it, Taryn, for people?
You think I'm going to sit there and listen to
you,
it?
You bounce out when you hear Loyal's birth story. Was it a difficult birth for Loyal?
I don't know. I feel like probably not, right? She's handled it well.
Yeah. There could be complications.
Maybe. I as soon as she starts talking about it, I go, oh, sorry, I've got a podcast. Oh man, I've got to just got to bounce for yeah.
You have a thing. You have a thing.
Yeah.
I'm just flabbergasted.
Don't make her mad, Taryn.
So I'm trying. I'm just trying to be
only
nice.
Sam Elliott can put up with hearing these stories.
Like he's got a stiff upper lip.
That's why a star is born. That's why he wanted to hear all birth stories from Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like a loyal guy too. Sam
I think
Elliott.
So. He seems loyal,
steadfast.
Trustworthy. Yeah. Okay. Taryn, tomorrow night you'll be back with the Legacy Watch Roundtable. The panel? Can you give us a tease like Enzo with the Foot Stalker?
A tease of the panel. How do I do a tease? Let me see. I could say that a country is blooming.
Country is blooming. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So interesting.
Oh, sorry. Not continent. Continent.
Continent.
I screwed it up.
Continent. Okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yeah. Okay. All right. Taryn, and no update from CBS.
Nothing.
Yeah. Okay. How about this? Let me give you my six questions for Mr. Tyler.
Okay. I'm going to be Tyler. I'm going to answer the questions.
Yeah. Could you answer them?
Okay.
So we'll do my exit interview and then you can give us our version of the live feed update of Tyler's answer. Okay. Here we go. All right. And these questions were very, these were pretty nice questions.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be the judge of that, Rob.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Here are my questions for Mr. Crispin. I should have started that off with dear Mr. Crispin, we're proud of you. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Good to know.
Question number one. Can you walk us through your Hail Mary plan that you attempted on Thursday?
Yeah, man. Well, I don't want to go out without a fight. So I thought, worth a shot. I'm gonna try and convince them that I have a power and that that something bad's gonna happen to me to them if they vote me out. Didn't work though. Worth a shot though, right?
It's worth a shot. Okay. Question number two: was there a specific moment this season that you thought that you were in a position to win the game?
Not really, man. I felt out of sorts the whole game. I was playing too loose. I really at one point did want to go home, and then by the time I felt like I got back in to the game, it was too late, and I just couldn't get a grip.
Okay. Question number three, Tyler. If you had your HOH to do over from the triple eviction, is there a different set of house guests you would have put up on the block?
No, I think I made the right call. I think Danny was coming after me all game long. And, I just feel like Nicole, I just tried to vote her out. So I think I made the right call there. I'm happy that I managed to get Danny out before she got me.
All right, Tyler, who were the players you would have most liked to have worked with at the start of this season?
Oh, man, my man, David, I really wanted to work with him. He's such a cool dude, and I really wanted to go far with him. It was so hard trying to work with him, though, because he trusted some other people too much, and I couldn't tell him information. I really wanted to get to a point where he was forced to work with me, and I feel like I was almost there, but then he got sent home. Sorry, that was wrong. First answer would have been, really would have wanted to work with Angela. I really wish she was there. That would have been amazing for me. Then he would have talked about David. And of course, Casey, I was really hoping Casey would be there.
I was meant in this season, Tyler.
In this season, I would have loved to get to the end with Christmas just because, not to be mean, but I think I would have had a good shot at beating her. And, David and Christmas were the two that I really wanted to work with the most.
Okay. Speaking of Christmas, Tyler, is there anything from Christmas's HOH week that you wish you could do over?
No, you know what? Like I made the call I did at the time. My head was just not in the game. I'm proud of the decision I made. I really thought at the time that it was the right decision to leave. I really wanted to help mend things with Bailey and help Davon and Bailey in the game. But when I talked to Christmas, I realized it wasn't good for her game and she wasn't going to do it. So I decided that I had to stay at that. I didn't change my mind. I just did what I thought was right.
Okay. And then finally...
Or, I'd prefer not to answer that question.
Yeah, I think that's...
We got both.
Yeah. I wonder if the exit interview that he wouldn't do might have just, took a break for the day. Or maybe said to me, I've done enough answering questions today.
Mm.
Take me to the jury house. And then, finally, Tyler, are there any circumstances where you would ever return again to play Big Brother?
Nah, I love Big Brother. It's given me so much. I won the best prize of all. Love. And whatever. I feel like I need to take a step back. I think my time on Big Brother is done. And that's all I got.
Yeah. I feel like he doesn't... really like Big Brother. Maybe I think he used to like Big Brother.
Yeah.
He's over.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. All right. Well, thank you, Taryn, for giving us the interview. Who knows? Maybe these answers may come in eventually, but this
I'm kind of hoping they do because I want to see how close I got.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so we'll
I feel like I'm not too far off the mark.
We'll match them up. We'll see how you did. This is like the newlywed game, and we'll see if Tyler matched your answers completely or really went off the board. But I will say that, it's almost 3:00 here on the West Coast. This would, if they came in, this would be, 4 or 5 hours later than they've ever come in since we started doing them this way.
Wouldn't they tell you though, hey, we're not going to give you anything?
It's probably like hey, just so you know, we can't give you the answers to your questions. So we'll see. Maybe it's just delayed.
We'll see.
All right. Taryn, great job. So much fun to get sloppy with you.
So sloppy. Everybody, this whole podcast has been sloppy. CBS is sloppy with the interviews. The song was sloppy. It's all over the place.
It was all over the place. We got to talk to Tommy Bracco, Tommy's dad.
Very sloppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
they were arguing with each other.
Yes. Well, that was great. I loved it. Tommy's dad is so much fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Tara, what's next for you? You're keeping a close eye on the nominations.
Yes, we'll watch this play out as Nicole targets Memphis. Can Memphis get out of this? Who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see. And then, of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning to update you on what happens today on the feeds. I'll be live tomorrow night with the Legacy Watch Roundtable. There's an American Ninja Warrior podcast summarizing the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. Should be dropping eventually. We've got the Emotional Intelligence podcast
recorded. Yeah, with Lauren Doty. That's going to be tomorrow. We have another podcast, myself and Taryn, talking about how emotional intelligence impacts Big Brother. Look for that. I'm going to drop that tomorrow night.
Yes. Nicole, who, when she read the book about emotional intelligence, she already knew everything because she's so emotionally intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how is that going to help her in the game?
Yeah. So a fun conversation, and you could hear how emotional intelligence affects the players in different ways on Big Brother. So be on the lookout for that one. And then we'll be back on Monday night, remember, for the next episode of the Big Brother Recap podcast. So be on the lookout for that. And if we hear from Tyler, we will share that interview with you as well. I've got a Facebook Friday coming up for the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. We dropped a patron 5 for $5 last night with the First Lady of Podcasting and myself, and had so much fun. Next week will be the slop season finale coming up next Friday. So hope you'll be joining us again next Friday for one last batch of the slop. Take care, everybody.
No more slop.
Bye.